This is the Concealed Carry Podcast, Season 9, Episode 25. And welcome to the Concealed Carry Podcast, part of the ConcealedCarry.com network, brought to you by HK. Today's episode is a special one where I've brought on my friend Hunter Constantine. Yep, there he is. There's the man.
Hey, everybody.
Hunter is, I would say, a dear friend. It's not like we hang out all the time, but when we do hang out, we have a great time, don't we?
Yes, we do. We're a couple states away, but we pick up where we left off every single time we see each other.
That's right. That's right. So we got a great episode, I think, today. We're going to talk about reasons for what we do. And I think that's something that Hunter is really in tune with. And so, and frankly, you're an inspiration to me, brother, because that's one of the reasons I love shooting with you is because you make it a joy to be around. So that's a great reason right there. We'll get into that. But first, guys, you should know that today's episode is sponsored by dryfireproshop.com. Yeah, that's your one-stop shop for all your dry fire training needs. Head on over to dryfireproshop.com. Pick some stuff up. We appreciate the support. Ships right out of my warehouse right back here. So that might be one you don't even know about, one of the additional businesses that that I
not at all. And dry fire is important. People need to do it. I am guilty of not doing it as frequently over the last couple of years as years prior. But I'll go to a major and I'll miss a couple reloads and I will go home and dry fire because I realize that it's very important to have that muscle memory constant. Right.
Yes. I am sometimes guilty as well of not dry firing as much as I should, although I generally try to, you know, ramp it up as I get close to like a major or something, but
Anyway. And it only takes 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
There should be no excuse, but here we are.
Yep. Well, I've been doing a little bit more lately because of that silly. That's not fair. It's actually really awesome, that Ace XR virtual reality system. Have you seen that?
Mm.
Yeah.
Super dialed in.
So I picked one of those up, and it's wild, man. I've been having a good time with that. So have the kids, which is actually it's actually turning into this opportunity to get my kids even more involved in some shooting type stuff because they're like, ooh, shooting, and it's a game, you know. And it makes me happy.
And just like family bonding as well. Like they get to spend time with dad and family and their siblings, and that's priceless.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We have a great time. Hey, the other sponsor of today's episode is an honorary one. You don't even know this, but if you come on my show and you've got something to represent, you get honorary sponsorship. So today, HunterConstantine.com. Head on over to Hunter's website. Check out everything that he's got going on.
Belts.
And support the guy. Yes.
Belts. This is the main one right here. Belts. We'll probably get into this at some point in the podcast, so we won't get into it just yet, but it's a stretchy EDC belt. We could do something for the people listening. We could give them a code if we want. They could save a little money. What would you pick the code? What is it?
Oh man.
It could be anything. I think it's up to like 60 characters.
Let's go CC podcast.
Okay.
24 for the year 2024.
CC podcast 24. I'm writing it down, so don't forget.
There you go. Yeah, so there's a code, and what will people get?
We're gonna rock paper scissors for it right now. Okay. So generally it's 5%, but I feel like I like having fun. So if you win, they're gonna get free shipping. If I win, it's gonna be 5% off.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Is this one go? Just one go?
One go. One and done.
One go. Okay. All right. I am ready.
All right. You ready? We'll go on shoot.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
What do you get? Paper?
Yeah.
All right. I got paper too. We'll do it one more time.
One more time.
All right.
Eyes are closed.
Eyes are closed. Paper, scissors, shoot. Hey!
Bam!
Free shipping.
Free shipping.
Free shipping for all the concealed carriers out there. That's awesome. All right. Was that the first rock, paper, scissors on the podcast?
On the podcast, for sure.
Yes. All right.
And the most unique way that we have introduced an episode guest as well as honorary sure. sponsor and selecting a discount code for the
I like
listener.
It. Oh, yeah. Man. You know I'm here to have fun. So like that's what we're doing.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, folks, those of you that are tuning in live, feel free to drop comments, questions, whatever you want in the comments. If you're not catching this live, you're watching the replay or just watching or listening to the podcast feed. If you want to reach out, let us know, you know, what you like about the podcast or about this episode. Or if you just want to get in touch with Hunter, you can always you can email the podcast, podcast@concealedcarry.com. You can go to Hunter's website, hunterconstantine.com, and get in touch with him. But drop your comments if you're watching live, and of course share and all that, because we like to have a good time. I know it's a Friday evening as we're recording this, and people are probably, you know, doing Friday evening stuff, but whatever.
Yeah, but you know, they're getting off work, it's before dinner, we might catch them. Or actually East Coast, they're probably done with dinner, so you should be watching this.
That's right. All right, so Hunter, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? There's gonna be a lot of folks that probably don't yet know you, and they're going to get to know you. So
sure.
Where does it all begin for you, my man?
Okay. I'm going to give a brief little umbrella of who I am first, and then we'll touch on where it started. But I'm Hunter Constantine. I'm a grandmaster carry optic shooter in USPSA. Been shooting for about 5 years, and I train across the country. I do all the fun content stuff on Instagram and YouTube. And then I have a few of my own products, a couple businesses in the firearm space and off-road space. This is firearm, so we'll probably stick closely to that rather than the off-road stuff. But shameless plugs, hunterconstantine.com for the belts and other firearm stuff. 2-Track Nation for off-road things. If you guys like overlanding and staying warm at night, we make this awesome diesel heater for your trucks. But I travel the country shooting matches. Last year, I shot 18 majors and probably around 70 or 80 local matches. I stay very busy. I'm gone almost every weekend. My first year shooting, I shot 140 local matches and I think 5 or 6 majors. But as soon as I jumped into it, it's like baptism by fire. And I want to just get my hands, get my feet right into it and figure out what I need to do to be successful. And I think shooting matches and competition was the way to increase my firearm skills, which was my first interest getting into guns. I mean, first of all, you look really cool doing it.
Yeah.
Period. At least for the most part. There's definitely some stages I'm not too proud of or some silly drills that I maybe not connected on, but that's everybody and we're human. So things happen. But that I moved to Arizona. And I was riding a lot of bicycles in college and stuff like that, and I had sponsors for it. But I knew of competition shooting. Cold called my range. I was like, hey, do you have matches? Talked to the match director. He said, show up. It was IDPA, and I had a Zev Glock 34 with a comp for IDPA. And
let that slide this one time.
Yeah, yeah. I actually still have the slide, which is it's kind of cool. But it was I think it was like a 5-stage match. And for those of you listening, I'm sure you know what IDPA is, but if you don't, it's a time plus system. So if you're outside of the bullseye, it's +1 for like a Charlie zone or right outside of it, +3 for a delta or the edge of the target, and +5 for a miss or a no shoot. And for that 5-stage match, which is maybe 70, 80 rounds, I was +100 seconds. So it was bad. I shot really fast, but I barely hit anything at all. The biggest thing, though, is that I had fun, and it was really enjoyable. And, you know, moving to a new state, cold, didn't have any – I had some family here, but no, none of my peers. And I just got welcomed in immediately. And I was with, like, the older gentleman from IDPA, so I didn't break any of the rules or anything. But even still, we had such a great time that I was just itching to go back. And in that moment right there, I said, I want to figure out how to do this for a living. I want to do this full time. I want to become one of the best shooters. And that was the inspiration and motivation for, you know, like, let's say the first year and a half. And that's all I dedicated my time to. And during that time, I was dry firing a ton and shooting as many matches as I could. There was nothing else. It was just head down. I was going to work, going to the gym, and thinking about shooting. So matches, dry fire, whatever it was. And it just escalated from there. And it got to a point where I got to leave my 9-to-5, started doing some training. I work in marketing, so I got some marketing contracts with companies and things like that. And then it's to where we're at now, where I'm on the road full-time shooting matches, training law enforcement, civilians, making friends along the way, and just enjoying what seems to be the modern American dream, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's awesome. That's great. I love hearing it. You know, I mean, it's always fun to hear kind of where people come from, how they got started.
Yeah.
You know, as I find that there's so many people that end up in, you know, the industry, quote unquote, that, you know, they didn't start out there necessarily as, you know, like they're doing other things, and then, you know, they stumble into shooting a match like essentially you did. And next thing you know, yeah, you know, 5 years later, you're making and selling belts for concealed carry purposes and all that. So yeah, that's awesome, dude.
And like
awesome.
Thousands of people around the country concealed carrying more, which I think is super important. It's one of our base rights in this country. And like with the belts, I wasn't carrying because the belts I had were uncomfortable. And so I was putting in like a fanny pack or off body carrier, not carrying at all. And that's just not acceptable. And so I was like, we'll do it live. I'm going to make my own belt. And just dialed in with a really good product, and it just, people liked it. And I did not imagine having the support that I have for it, at this point. But I'm going to keep making them and keep getting people in them, because I've worked with many companies in the industry, and I've worked, in clothing retail. I've worked in the restaurant businesses, commercial real estate, all this stuff. I rarely get an email that's positive. It's usually a negative comment about something, you know, this, whatever, these gun parts didn't work on my gun, or we had a bad experience at this restaurant, or, you know, tenants complaining about their lease, whatever it is. And it's an overwhelming amount of positive emails coming in about people, revitalizing their concealed carry habits and carrying more, due to the comfort and functionality of this belt. Especially, like, I fractured my back twice, so my lower back and hips are very sensitive. And that was the issue I was having with some of the stiffer belts on the market, is that I would be so uncomfortable and I didn't want to do anything else. So I'd want to sit on the couch and I wouldn't want to go exercise. I wouldn't want to do anything other than just let my hips open up. And, yeah, so it's been awesome. And I wouldn't have had the idea for the belt if I wasn't shooting as much as I am and so involved with the competition side and the community and just trying to get as much trigger time as possible. So everything comes full circle, and it feels great being able to help other people now rather than just my own personal skills, but let other people have that same enjoyment that I've felt, and something from as simple as a belt, you know? And yep. So it's cool. Do you remember your first match that you shot?
Oh yeah. If it was USPSA, it was an indoor match. Very, very, very first match I ever shot was a 3-gun match.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Jumping right into it. You're like, pistol, shotgun, rifle. Well, you know, we're going to do it.
Right. You know, it was like, you know, and it took me a long time to even, I guess, fully appreciate and understand that there was all that opportunity out there, you know, mm-hmm. as far as competition shooting is concerned. And I was like, well, let's see, what do I want to do? Well, this 3-gun thing, man, I mean, like 3 guns, 3 times the fun, right? Like, yeah, let's do it.
Sex, you know? You know?
And yeah,
how'd it go?
Oh, it was fine. You know, I mean, I definitely finished, you know, towards the bottom of the
sure.
list. I was happy I wasn't the very bottom.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I might've been, you know, I don't know, 10 or 12 places from the bottom, you know, out of about 50 people or 60 yeah. people or something. But, you know, but I, you know, and actually I was pretty, you know, familiar with pistol and a carbine. having been doing that stuff for a while, I was part-time law enforcement at the time. I was an agency instructor, handgun and patrol rifle. And so I think that was kind of my thing. I was like, well, I like shooting ARs. I like shooting pistols. Let's go to, I just got to do the shotgun thing now. And so the only thing that was really a problem was like, I showed up with my duty belt. I had all the pouches for, pistol and rifle mags, but I had no way of carrying, shotgun shells.
Oh, the shotgun shells.
So I, got with the match director. I was like, hey, I'm new, and I'm like, and he was super cool and super friendly and helpful. And that's, been my experience by and large. There's definitely exceptions. I'm sure you know that too, but by and large, people in the competition shooting communities are amazing. And he's like, well, hey, I've got this little carrier. If you can manage to clip that onto your belt, I can lend that to you for the match. And, it held like 12 shells or something. And, I borrowed it. I used it. I figured out real quick how to just at least do double loads at the time, and later figured out the quads. But yep, that was how I got that.
The quads do look so cool when people just have it dialed in. It's like, and get it in. I'm terrible at it. I have a box fed shotgun in the safe because I just didn't even want to take the time to learn. I barely shoot shotgun as is, but, it's just fun. I think everybody shooting competition, for the most part, will remember that first match. Because I was even talking to some of like the veterans in the game that have been doing this 30 plus years, and they still remember their first match too, which is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked, actually. It's fun to think back, on that. Yeah.
I have an insane amount of videos on my phone. I've recorded almost every single match that I've shot. And so occasionally when I'm going down memory lane, I can access some of those matches in the phone. And it's just amazing to see like the comprehension level and the skills increase over time and have like an actual timeline of it happening where it's like, oh, wow. Like, took a long time for you to find that sight. Oh, that was a good split. I was like, why are you standing like that? And then once you kind of have those little eureka moments along the way, you can see things dialing in. And then like I watched some of the videos now, and I still shock myself after the stage has finished. I'm like, wow, you were very aggressive on that stage. But in that moment on the stage, I didn't feel like I was necessarily pushing as hard as it looked in the video, just because of where like that processing level is and how strong the fundamental base is, and it's very cool to see and just reminisce on. And just like I started where anybody else would start shooting, where like I barely knew my way around the range. I kind of understood the guns, but not at a high level or anything like that. And as you spend more time with it, you start to master all these different little tools of the trade. I can still barely work on my 2011s. That's my next goal. And don't tell all the 2011 companies I work with, but the striker fire guns, definitely Mondo easy, but occasionally like I can put together, understand what it works, but then there's sometimes where I'm like, why isn't this engaged? And you pull up the YouTube video and you follow along and you put it back together, and then everything's fine. But there's some local guys I was talking to recently where, 25 years shooting USPSA, and they have open guns from the 90s and things like that, and all these crazy little cool niche guns that I didn't even know existed. But I just had this conversation yesterday on the range, but I'm going over to his house. I'm bringing over stakes, and he's going to take me through a 2011 workshop, basically, with just like him, his wife, his son. And we're going to have dinner, and then we're going to sit down, and he is going to get me to a point where I could maybe assemble it blindfolded, and it's just good. But there's always new things to learn, and even like putting together ARs. I was green when I got my first ARs of, oh my gosh, I have to replace the trigger. This is such a daunting task. Now it's just like throw the pins out, slap the new trigger in, we're good to go. And it's all part of the fun and just gaining all those little nuggets of knowledge in all these different areas. And, like the shooting is one thing, the gear is another thing. The gear for your body and the gear for your gun, those are like two separate things. And you can see when you go to a match too of the experience of different people, And I think it was the Nationals that we shot together. I had duct tape on my holster because it cracked.
Yeah, and I think that's right. Yeah,
and yeah, and it cracked right on that front ridge. There's some thin Kydex, and man, I don't remember who it was, but it was one of those old veterans. And he's like, oh man, you're somebody you got to worry about. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you have duct tape on your holster. He's like, I know you've been using it. I know you've been practicing. The guy that comes with like the very fresh, brand new rig, you're like, eh, you don't really have to worry about him. And he's like, but the guy that is too stubborn to take his holster off because he likes it and it's duct taped and just fun little instances like that. And some of those conversations you have on the range, you'll gain more information just from the conversations than anything else. Just like we're having today, I'm sure there's going to be some great nuggets of information that we'll share on here for all the listeners. But when you're at a match, you never know where the conversation is going to steer, what questions come up. And there's, you know, you're with 8 to 10 other people who are like-minded and experienced, and they all know something that you don't, and you know something that they don't. And the only way you're going to do that is by having that conversation. And as you know, I talk to everybody at the range, and I think that greatly helps your progression with whatever you're trying to accomplish, shooting or not, actually. Just being able to talk to people, discuss with people who have been in it and like know what they're doing so you can gain some more of that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You know, one of the things I really, you know, appreciate and also respect about you and where I think that there's some similarities between you and I, mm-hmm, is that, you know, we are very passionate about shooting and competitions, because it's fun and it's awesome. And mm-hmm, it's, you know, but also passionate about the practical, you know, concealed carry side, you know.
Yeah.
Because you definitely know, as I know, that there's those competition shooters that we associate with, that we shoot matches with, that, yeah, for them, it's just about the game, just about the sport. Mm-hmm. Just about showing up on a Saturday or whatever and shooting a match. And, you know, they probably, you know, support the Second Amendment and believe in concealed carry, but don't really actually practice it. Or if they do, they're, you know, they're just not, it's not their thing. It's not, there's something they're super,
yeah,
you know, that they take seriously.
They're not like living it day in, day out. And constantly thinking about it, right. You know, it's just, right. And it's important too. And I definitely know what you mean, where the gamer guys, where it is just, that's it, that's all that matters to them, but it's way more than that.
Yeah and there's nothing wrong with, you know, I'm just to, sure, be clear, not like trying to disparage anybody.
This is
for those listening, you know, just that, you know, that that's one of the things I really like about you, is you're in both of those worlds. You know, you like, mm-hmm, shooting competition, and you carry a gun, you carry concealed, you're developing products to support, mm-hmm, that lifestyle. And I think that's super cool and super important. And so one thing that's, you know, and some of my listeners probably might, I don't know, they might even be a little bit tired of hearing some of this to an extent, because it has been a topic of discussion before. Okay. But, you know, why did I get into shooting competition? Well, because I wanted to get better at shooting a gun. and it, you know, just
period,
my regular trips to the range and, you know, some tactical classes here and there were, I was learning, I was growing, but it just wasn't getting the job done in the way I wanted to get it done, right? And so let's spend a minute and just kind of talk about and this is one of the reasons that we're here to discuss today, reasons for what we do and why we do what we do. How do you see, you know, the crossover between what we do in competition and concealed carry or training just in general?
Sure. Yeah. So, I think competition is the number one driver for skill progression, period. The best analogy I see is what the Army does. They have their special forces teams go train with the Army Marksmanship Unit, which is their competition MOS. So if you're lucky enough and you shoot well enough, like some of the guys out there like Jacob and Aaron and stuff, your MOS for the Army is competition shooting. And those guys are shooting like 150,000 rounds a year or more, give or take, and they shoot all the different disciplines and things. But those guys are – anybody, the competition shooting will create a master of that class and that skill set, which is just shooting the gun, understanding the gun. And, you know, the special forces guys, they learn so many different things, a wide array of different things, but they go train with the competition shooters to learn how to shoot their gun. And that was something that got brought up to me where I was like, oh, I'm like, that's interesting. You know, I always just think, you know, you hear whatever team guy you want or whatever, and you're like, he's a badass shooter. And they are, for the most part, respectable shooters. But you put them next to someone who's a world champion, national champion, or even just a grandmaster shooter, even a masterclass shooter, and those guys will probably run circles around them on a flat range and on a stage. And it just solidified for me that you're going to be getting way more reps going to these matches and having that. The performance on demand is a huge aspect of it, where you just have to perform right then and there. There's no other runs. It's not Instagram where you can record 10 runs, post the best one. It is just show up, shoot, and what do you got? And that's it. And so shooting these matches, I realized very quickly that the top shooters weren't necessarily the military guys or the law enforcement guys. It's those gamer guys that we were talking about that live the competition sport, and they know their guns inside and out. And I remember a local guy explaining to me about calling your shots based on the recoil of your gun. And I thought that was just a wild concept. I'm like, how do you know where your bullet went on how your gun feels in your hand? And it was probably 8 to 10 months later when I had that eureka moment happen, where for those of you who don't know, I'm a big fan of the Smith & Wesson M&Ps. I've been shooting them for like 4-ish years, almost the entirety of my competition career, probably 250,000 rounds on the gun. And at a certain point after a round count on it, I just know how that gun is supposed to feel in my hands. And so you can know what that recoil feels like, and you know that, oh man, like, that felt a little bit off in my hands. That shot's probably to the left or to the right, based on like what your dot's doing or your sights are doing, or how that slide's reacting in your hand. And that was a huge, huge thing with my skill progression, was understanding your shot calling based on how the gun feels. And that's like a whole other level of understanding of shooting in general. And like my training before this, and for those of you listening, I did bunny ears with my fingers. I went to school in Ohio, and we'd shoot at stumps in a farm field, and maybe like 500 rounds a year total. And I'm like, this is some badass high speed shit right here, you know. And when you get to the matches, it's just eye opening, and you realize how much farther your skill gets pushed the more you're shooting. The more live fire you're doing, the more matches you're shooting, you realize that there's so much to grow, even shooting at a high level, grandmaster level, and nipping at the heels of some of the best. There's still so much to learn and so much to progress from. And it's just like these different little stepping stones and levels that you get to achieve and work towards that make it so gratifying. So as your skill is progressing, you get like little carrots along the way that's rewarding for you. And so it encourages you to keep trying and keep getting better and just keep working on that skill. But it just showed me that the competition shooters had the best understanding of their firearms and the shooting process. And so that's where I was like, if I want to be a responsible citizen, if I want to be able to protect myself, protect my loved ones, I need to get better at shooting. And the only way I'm going to be doing that is through competition, period.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree that's pretty much exactly what got me into it too. You know, I mean, I remember being enlightened to the fact that, you know, top tier units in the military were hiring some of the top guys in competition to come and teach them and show them how to shoot, you know, and by that, like, I know, like, they're usually pretty quiet about, you know, talking about such things.
Sure.
But like, I know, you know, like Rob Latham, for example,
Love Rob.
Been out many times to train with various elite units, you know, to show them how to shoot really good. Jerry Barnhart, way back in the day, who was like Rob's nemesis, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. He basically left, you know, regularly competing and shooting in competitions because he got hired away by the government to go and basically, you know, he got so good and so respected for what he knew as a shooter, that became his career, was to teach the high level guys that are out there fighting our nation's wars and whatever else, you know, how to shoot. So it's like, okay, that's interesting, you know? So that's the shooting piece.
Yeah, it's just good stuff. And so
go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
you go.
Oh, okay. I think there's just a little bit of a lag there. So, concealed carry. Have you ever shot a match from concealment?
Absolutely. I won a local steel challenge from concealed. There's a handful of matches I've finished high overall from concealed carry. My favorite story with concealed carry was last year at Rio Salado Spring Steel. Rio Salado is one of the world famous shooting clubs in the country and the world. Probably they've been running matches for 30, 40 years. Spring Steel is like, oh man, let's just say like 12 to 18 stage all steel match, one day format. And it's fun and it's casual and it's usually like in the springtime. So like the season's just getting started and I had to drive from Tucson. So I left the house at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I got there and I didn't have my competition belt. And so in the moment, getting stuff out of my truck, I was like, we're shooting from concealed today. And luckily I had a holster with a mag caddy on it and I have the Neo Mag pocket magnet holster, which I just keep in my range bag. I keep one in my range bag, one's in the center console of my truck, and it's great if you don't have a mag caddy, just to have a mag in your pocket that's just not buried all the way down. So it's just right there, easy placement. And it was a heater of a match. Awesome. Awesome heat there. All the Phoenix boys that you know, like Ryan and Lee and Morgan, Chewy, all those boys. And so they're giving me a run for the money. And I ended up finishing like 2 seconds behind Lee. And then Lee's like, where's your belt? And I was like, just lifted up my shirt. He's like, you did it from concealed? And we were just having a good time about that and everything. Like, you know, whatever it was. But we took first and second in the match. And it was just awesome knowing that the time I put in for concealed carry translated to the match setting still, and that I always say your draw is never going to win you the match. You know, it might win you a stage. That goes into all the scoop draw stuff, which I don't really like, but I know a lot of people do. And so as long as you can build that grip on your gun from your draw and you understand your shooting, you can get through whatever you want. And yeah, that was the first taste I got. I think there's 200, 250 people that shoot that match. Whereas a larger match, good heat, shot from concealed, placed well. And it was a little bit eye-opening for me, being like, this could be competitive. And I know there's a guy in Florida who only shoots from concealed. And
He goes online by Les Pepperoni.
Yes. Yeah.
Les Kismartoni.
Yep. And then Powers, too.
Brandon
Powers, he's all concealed too. And so I will get to that point one day, but I have a lofty goal of getting a national title first, and then you'll never see a competition belt on me again. But besides the point, and then we'll go for a title. Please do. Multi-gun might be a little difficult, but we'll figure that out. We can mark it here February 16th, 2024, live on the podcast. But the concealed carry side, like I didn't have a strong concealed carry draw. I still don't have the fastest concealed carry draw. But the biggest thing is that I wanted consistent draws all the way through. And typically when I'm carrying, I will carry the same gun that I compete with, 5-inch M&P full size gun, simply because I have the most confidence on that gun. And so with shooting competition, to increase your skill level, it mainly boils down to increasing your confidence for concealed carry. And so I want to know where my shots are getting placed. I want to know, I want to know how to run that gun inside and out. I think the farthest shot I have on my M&P is like 425 yards. Granted, I'm not going to do that in a concealed carry situation, but I could if I need to, or like 50 yard plate racks and things like that, and testing some of those standards. But at the end of the day, I carry that gun because I have, let's say, 250,000 rounds on the platform. I know exactly how it's going to recoil. I know exactly how the trigger feels. I carry a subsonic 147 hollow point, which isn't the most ideal concealed carry round, but it is as close to my competition rounds as I can get as far as recoil impulse and zero shift.
Yep.
Or point of impact shift.
Which bullet are you using for that?
Oh, that- Nothing like special. I 147. So like competition loads are 147 blue bullet, flat nose. And then the concealed carry rounds, are like, PPU 147 hollow points. And I didn't do any research on them. Yep. I just had them at my brass processor had them. And I was like, I should have hollow points in my gun. And then, Superville makes their Hush Puppy 147, mm-hmm. which is a subsonic. And I found good luck with that too. And so I don't shoot my carry ammo often. I'd say like maybe once a quarter, and then I refresh the mags. Mm-hmm. Or if we're just being silly on the range with our concealed carry guns and I don't have any other ammo, I'll shoot it and reload when we get home. But those two are basically my options. Definitely carrying the right projectile helps. There's a little while where I was carrying blue bullets, which, like, hey, shot placement's everything, right? But when we were doing some tests on ballistic gel, it doesn't have the same same thing with carrying FMJs. And I'd rather have something that's going to expand, something that's going to stop. I'm not going to have as much over penetration. Yep. And like, yes, you can carry FMJs. You can carry blue bullets. It's just not the best round for that choice. Mm-hmm. And I've gone hunting with a couple of my M&Ps I've gone hunting with, for hog hunting with pistols, and I had blue bullets in there, and they just don't have the stopping power needed, you know? And so, but the big thing was just building that confidence behind it. And so sometimes I carry a subcompact now, just depending on what I'm wearing, especially in Arizona when it's like 120 degrees out and I'm in just something light, like a t-shirt, athletic shorts, but like I can still I'll conceal carry this with a Surefire and a spare mag in like some sort of sidecar style holster, and it's no problem. But the biggest thing is like I know I can shoot this gun fast. I know I can shoot it accurately. I know where my shots are going to go, and that was the main reason for shooting competition, was so I could be more confident with my concealed carry. And so now it's just like I hope no one would have to be in a concealed carry situation. We should all be trying to avoid it at all times. Yeah. But if it did come down to it, push comes to shove, like they do not want to meet me if I have this M&P in my hand or the subcompact. The other thing, if you're carrying a different gun than you compete with, you should be shooting it regularly. And I shoot a Smith & Wesson Equalizer for the concealed carry gun. And I probably shoot that at least once a week, you know, maybe 50 rounds. Like I'll get done with my practice, load up ammo, take the carry ammo out, put in just like my normal practice ammo, and I'll rip some plate racks. I'll do some of the same drills that I did with my USPSA rig on, just so I'm up on it, so I understand the trigger on it and understand what I'm doing. I got a coyote a couple weeks with the carry gun, found out how loud unsuppressed guns are without ear pro real quick, but it's important just to stay up on it and stay training on it. Like so many times, the J-frame's the perfect example of load the gun, forget about it, never shoot it, and people think that they're just going to be proficient with it. And just not the case. You have to stay up on it. You have to practice. You have to get the rounds on it. And there's no replacement for it. You can dry fire some, sure, but when it comes, like push comes to shove for actually getting accurate hits on target, you need to live fire and you need to use your gun frequently.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. It's excellent advice. I mean, it's just a good reminder to all of us to, you know, guys, get out there and practice, man. You know, do the dry fire thing,
you know,
and also get out to the range. And, you know, and that's one of the great things about competition is, and partly because sometimes people, they might get to the range, but their range might be super restrictive about certain things, like drawing from the holster, for instance, or, you know, not being able to shoot more than one round per second or some, you know, something ridiculous.
We don't like
that.
Those ranges.
Yeah, we don't. But if that's the one range you have access to for whatever reason, but yet also, like sometimes the funny thing is sometimes some of those same ranges will also run matches. And the matches are like a whole exception to all the other stupid rules that they have.
Yeah, don't worry about the range rules. It's fine.
So anyway, it's a great opportunity to get out and compete where you could do maybe some of the things you can't often do normally at the range. And the other thing too, we see all kinds of really cool and unique target presentations that you might not see necessarily on a square flat range, you know, that you just go and practice at. I mean, like movers, swingers, bobbers, clamshells.
That's exactly where my mind went.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's another cool thing you get to experience and most, at matches.
I'm going to just make a general statement. Most match directors are pretty cool and will allow for concealed carry to participate in matches. You know, of course, there's going to be a couple thorns in the garden around the country, sure. But if they know that you're proficient and you're being safe, it's more than welcome to. And just at my local – last local USPSA match I shot, I think we had – 8 or 9 people shooting from concealed, awesome. Just because they want to get their reps, just like what we're doing, you know, and getting that understanding and having those unique target arrays and just that testing under pressure. Because I find I don't want to say I get lazy with my practice because I do work hard and I train hard, but I can get a lot done with just a single stationary static target or a few target stands, you know? And when you go to the match now, you know, you're on like a weird angle, you're shooting squatted down. You might have to shoot strong hand or weak hand or, you know, different shot numbers on different targets. And you might not have that same creativity when you're practicing by yourself. But when you show up and you have somebody else telling you this is what you have to shoot, you get put in that situation. And again, it goes back to that performance on demand of just knowing how to put it together or what level of respect you need for a target to shoot at. So, you know, if it's a close open target, forget about it. No respect. They're getting 15 splits all day and I'm barely looking at my sight picture, but that 20 yard no shoot, definitely going to be some reactive shooting on that target. That actually brings me to a memory I have with you, Riley, from our very first Carry Optics Nationals we shot together.
Yeah.
And it was on zone one. It was a big field course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you had to go to like the left side of the stage and there's all these target arrays, but there was an open target right to the left, and then you had transitioned to the right to 2 or 3 targets or something like that. And someone got a picture of you on that open target where your gun is pointed at the target and your head is looking towards the next target array because you're moving so fast that your eyes are moving before your finger can move. And Riley has a picture of this gun firing, the slides back, the smoke's coming out of the barrel, the brass is leaving the gun. And he just point shot this target. And his head is completely turned 45 degrees or 90 degrees from the other target. And the best part about it is you got 2 elf on that target. Like, never forget that. And that was funny. I just remember all of us going crazy after that. We were like, we were going just nuts as the squad. And we were so hyped and so pumped up because that was just – it was just a cool array that you just attacked with intensity, you know, like 100%, like couldn't go faster than that. And, oh man, just fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
It was fun. It was, man. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. That's a good memory. Yeah. You know, I had a good time. I don't think that was my finest match. I think the next year I did a little bit better at the CO Nats, but, and then we won't talk about last year, but
no, I don't think anybody wants to talk about this last year.
But the point is that we had a good time, and so even if you don't always do well, like it's fun. Yeah. The memories that you create, the friendships that are established. For me, it's all about. There's all of that on the personal or individual level. That's certainly one kind of selfish way of looking at it. Like I'm uplifted by making these friends and being able to shoot and enjoy the sport with them. But it's also, we have to remember, I think that there's, you know, talking about reasons why we do what we do. There's some serious problems in this country, you know, right now. And like, there's stuff going on like right now in my state right here, where I am in Colorado. They're trying to propose some pretty wacky anti-gun stuff, you know, in the legislature. And like, it's about building community and building strength in that community.
100%.
Because, you know, we make friends and we have a good time and we have smiles and we swap jokes and all that. And that's all wonderful and great. But like, dude, I mean, there's people that want
this together.
Take our ability to be able to do that away. And so,
Yeah. And again, competition shooting, I think, should be the catalyst for these examples for people who want to pass this legislation, because we are training safely.
Yep.
We're doing this in a safe environment. Or the only type of gun control I want to see is keeping your gun flatter and getting more alphas on target, you know?
Right.
And competition shooting should be at the basis for an understanding of firearms in this country, because a lot of people, the media portrays it so negatively, and we only hear about the negative stuff and all these terrible incidences that happen. But there's so much good that happens every single weekend on this country. There's going to be hundreds of matches this weekend and thousands of people shooting that were safe, that are increasing their firearm skills and having a good time with their buddies, building their local communities. And none of that gets talked about at all. And I wish there's a way to bring competition shooting back into popular culture, because I look at those videos from like the late 90s, early 2000s with like Jerry and Taryn and Rob, and they're on national television shooting guns and it was applauded. And people from all walks of life could appreciate it, because it's like, wow, these guys are masters of their craft. They're shooting fast. But more importantly, it's demonstrating safe firearm handling. And it doesn't get any love. And I think it's important for us, with the platforms that we have, to have as much outreach as we can to educate these people. And when I was working in commercial real estate, I took out many of my employees to matches, and they didn't really like guns. They didn't own any guns, and they were pretty hesitant about going. And there's all this fear behind it. Be like, I don't want to get shot. I was like, you sound like a crazy person. And I remember I brought our accountant out, got him a belt, got him the gun, the mags, the ammo. You know, I'm like, I got you covered. Everything. Don't worry about it. All you have to do is just show up and bring some water, because it's hot out here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm nervous and everything. I was like, just take your time. You know, and I went over the basic firearm handlings with him in the office and the safety rules. And I was like, the number one thing is just be safe, you know, and make sure you have control of the situation. And, you know, he was walking from position to position, took him a while to find his sights, everything. And there was 45 people in the match. It was a smaller match, and it was just a little local steel match, little podunky thing, nothing crazy. And he's like, I just want to finish, not last. And he finished 44th out of 45, and he was the happiest person on the range. And as soon as we were done, we got to work on Monday, and he was like, dude, why don't we go do that again? And then he ended up getting a gun, and he ended up going to the matches even without me. And I was like, that feels special in my heart a little bit, where I opened up this passion to somebody new. And then he told his friend group about it and stuff. And like, you almost have to do it like case by case, person by person, so you can help expand it, because we're not getting any love from the media, you know. And I don't know what that change looks like, especially with how country's very divided right now. And it'll take a lot, but when people get brought into that community and have that camaraderie of the squad, and like, I always try to make it my goal for our squad to have the most fun at any match we're shooting.
Yeah.
Even if I'm with a bunch of serious Sallies in there and stuff, I'll find a way to break through their shell. And it just reminds you that like, we're doing this because it's fun. I mean, like, we're increasing our skills. We're gaining confidence for concealed carry and feeling safe and protecting ourselves, but we're also having fun, and you can go and have fun. And to me, shooting is a social event where you go there. Like when we're shooting a major, like, I don't get to see you that often. You know, you're a few states away. I think Colorado, what is that? Like 10, maybe 8 to 11 hour drive.
Say, it takes 11, 12 hours probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And so like, that's not something I'm going to come see you for every weekend for, you know, but when we're shooting matches together, it's great because we've shared these experiences at previous matches. We've been together. We've shared these laughs. We've shared these moments, shared some meals, and you get to jump right back into it. And as you start traveling for different majors, you start to make friends around this country. And it's an amazing thing to do. Or I remember visiting, shot the Alaskan sectional and made some friends. I've shot the Alaskan sectional a handful of times, but like made friends the first year I was there. And then I've been going to Alaska every year for the last probably over a decade, maybe 15 years or something. And now when I go there, I have a network of people where I was like, hey, we want to go to dinner, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, don't go to that restaurant. Go to this restaurant. And yeah. I'm like, you want to come? You know, and like just it's amazing growing these little communities everywhere. And I think it's really important to start bringing new people into it because it's going to have to grow. It's somewhat of, you know, there's like 50,000 members in USPSA or something, or 40,000 members. That's a small population of the millions of gun owners yep. in this country. And even having outreach at local gun shops and things where the average firearm enjoyer is going to be, but have an opportunity for them to come to a match, experience the match, and get a little taste of the fun, because it's like a whole new level of shooting where it's one thing going to the range with your close friends. It's another thing when you start having a network of people where I can join almost any squad because I know everybody at the range now and we're going to have a good time. You know, and we've shot so much together and we've grown together and see people progress or switch divisions and or they have malfunctions on their gun. And you're like, do you clean your gun run? You know, and like just smack talk and just it's a good time. It's really important to grow that and foster those relationships and foster those friendships.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic, man. I appreciate you sharing all that. That's, you know, and I would say there's a lot of lessons that we can take from what you just said, that even if a person's like, you know, I'm just, you know, getting into sanctioned USPSA or IDPA or whatever shooting is just not my thing. Well, okay. That's cool. It's not for everybody, but I think you can still take a lot of lessons from what, like you just said about, you know, how can we foster and grow communities? You know, going to the range, practicing, taking classes, maybe, you know, tactical is your thing and you like going taking, you know, defensive courses or whatever, like, which I've done a lot of those types of classes. And
sure,
those,
same here.
Those
I taught up, you those know, classes, you know?
Yeah. Right. You know, and you make some cool friends that way too. I mean, like I've traveled, you know, to Iowa, to Texas, to, golly, where's all the places I've traveled to take classes? And then you end up with these little like pockets of friends, you know, in some of those places that I've gone to. It's fun, you know, like, it's, you know, if I remember passing, like, oh, so there's a guy I was just talking to him the other day. He's out in, northwestern Missouri. And, I knew he was in that area, but I just didn't know exactly where. And then like, we were just chatting the other night via text, you know, and I realized that like where like the nearest town to where he lives is one I just stayed in a hotel like a few months ago. And I'm like, son of a gun, you know, so guess what? Next time I'm passing through there, I'm stopping and having dinner with him, you know?
Yeah. Riley's going to stop and crash on his couch. He's a grown man, still couch surfing.
There you go. I'm all about saving pennies, man. I got 5 kids to feed.
Dude. Yeah. That's a lot of college. That's a lot of braces, you know?
Yeah, I just but got one of my kids' braces last week.
Oh, yeah. anyway. Make sure he wears his retainer. My mom got pissed at me, but it's but either way, it is awesome to have that network around the country and even teaching classes and stuff too. I had a guy that I taught 3 years ago reach out, being like, "Is this still your number?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, what's up?" And he shot a couple matches, but he's older and busy. You know, he's got a couple businesses of his own and he just wanted to talk about some concealed carry options. And I was driving. I was like, yeah, just give me a call. I'm free right now. And we ended up talking for an hour and a half, just catching up about, we probably talked about concealed carry stuff for maybe 20 minutes and an hour and 10 minutes was just catching up about life. And it's like, it's awesome to hear. Love to hear what his grandkids are doing. Love to hear what his businesses were doing and stuff. I was asking him about training and he took some classes and he was telling me about those and so on and so forth. But it's amazing how welcoming the community is. And like on the range and off the range, where same deal. If you're like, I'll be like, people will tell you like, I'm pissed if you don't hit me up when you're in my town, you know, like you're staying at my house. I got a guest room. You're sleeping here. Don't get a hotel. Don't get an Airbnb. You know, you'll have a fresh cup of coffee that's made at home rather than hitting the QT or the Starbucks or the Maverick or whatever your coffee choices. But, and I love that, you know, and it's, I didn't find it in other sports or hobbies that I was in, because there is this underlying sense that we're together for the firearms because of how strict this nation is, and how negatively they portray firearms. And we all know that is just a myth and a lie, and how welcoming it is and how beneficial it is for everybody. And I think that's where the basis of that camaraderie comes from, is that we're in this together to protect the Second Amendment. And I think the shooting sports, I think the classes, regardless of whatever class you're taking, if it's your CCW class or a defensive class or a tactical class or a competition class, those are also fostering a better image for firearms overall in this country. And like, I remember during COVID, I was doing a lot of private training with people, and there's a lot of people that didn't even own guns beforehand, and they didn't even know what to have. And I'm sure you got told this too when you first started. It's like, oh, you know, pick up all these different guns and see which one fits your hands. And that's not really that obtainable for most people. You go to a rental range, they're charging you $50 a gun, their ammo, their targets, their range time. Now you're in for a couple $100 or something like that just to test a gun out. And you want to test five of them out, $1,000. Like, that's, it's not that obtainable. And so I'd always tell people, I'm like, hey, we're going to go to the range. We're just going to have a casual day shooting. I'm going to tell you about the safety tips. There's going to be no, I mean, like, you're going to learn some stuff, but it's not, we're not going there for the purpose of training. And all I'm going to do is I'll bring a rifle case full of pistols, and I'll bring 20 pistols with me. And I'll be like, shoot the M&P, shoot the Glock, shoot the HK, shoot the whatever it is. Figure out what you like in your hand. Figure out what you think is cool, because, you know, you only shoot as good as you look. So you got to have a gun that looks cool too. But, like, you know, whatever it is. And that was huge. And it was I didn't get to have that experience when I was coming up learning. Yeah, I had a Glock 34. That's what I shot. And then I won an optics cut for the M&P. And then I shot the M&P. And I was like, okay, this is my gun. And I really haven't deviated from platforms since then, or honestly really given other platforms a shot. But either way, I'm like, the gun's connected to me. I like the gun. I like how it feels. I like the ergos, et cetera. And so giving people that opportunity to, like, we are in a very like blessed position where we have a safe full of guns. We have a whole bunch of different guns in the safe. I'm sure you have a wild amount of pistols with how many holsters you guys are producing for all these different types and everything like that. And so going to, like, a concealed carry class or private training and offering somebody 15 or 20 different guns to shoot as they please is huge. And then after that, they're like, I like this gun. You know, I'd like to put an optic on it. I'd like to put a flashlight on it. And then I'd help them through that whole process until they have their ideal carry gun or competition gun or whatever the purpose of the gun is. But, and again, just providing that welcoming opportunity for them rather than, I've been with some people who are like, you shouldn't own anything other than a Glock 19. It does everything. And it's like, okay. I'm like, yes, it does. But, like, a full size recoil system definitely feels better. And subcompact gun is going to be a lot better for concealed carrying in the summer. And so, like, yes, it is a jack of all trades, master of none, but it is not the end all be all answer for everything. And I think it's important. Like, I just to touch on HK, since they're, you know, you're the new HK guy, I love the ergos on the VP9. I like the finger grooves. I'm not huge on the magazine reload with the finger, but it just feels good. And I think it looks good. My best friend, my business partner for Two Track Nation, that's what he carries. He carries a VP9. I just got him an optics cut for Christmas. So we put an RMR on there, and he's good to go now. He's dabbled in some matches, but he's usually off destroying his truck on some mountainside or something. But regardless, again, it's just like figuring out what gun's going to work for you. You don't need to go out and buy a Staccato or some $5,000 2011. They are cool and they shoot great, but it's not needed. And, like, that, especially like training law enforcement, I like having a $500 gun. You know what I mean? Where I'm not showing up with I shot for Nighthawk for a couple of years, and, like, I'd show up with a $5,000 or $6,000 2011 and I'd get discredited for my skill because of the gun with some law enforcement agencies because they're restricted to only using a Glock, only using an M&P or a USP or something like that. And they're like, oh, well, the gun's doing all of it. And it helps having just $500 striker fire gun that you're shooting with. Sure, I have a new trigger in here. Big whoop. Okay. I'm in competition world. I don't have a department telling me I can't modify my gun. So yes, I like the better trigger. I think it makes me shoot better, but it's just important that you figure out what you like, and the community's here to support you. Even I shot the Caribbean Open last weekend, and we had a guy's a Dawson Acro plate failed on a staccato, and I was literally twirling his optic around on his gun, and one of the pins broke, and he finished the stage. His hits weren't great, but he finished it. And as soon as the stage was over, someone's like, I have a backup limited optics gun. You have to use that. And he was like, no, I'm going to go try and get this pin out. And it was like, forget about it. Just here's a new gun. Here's the mags that run in it. And the guy had extra ammo too, and let him shoot his ammo out of it. And I saw the same thing at one of the Alaskan sectionals. My buddy loaded 38 Super Comp with these really hard rifle primers for his 38 Super Comp, didn't test it before the match, and his first stage was bolt action open gun. So he was racking his gun every single round, and one of the staff was like, hey, I already shot the match. I have ammo for you. I have another open gun. Do you just want to shoot that? And they swapped guns live. And that is like the number one example I see of this community wanting to help everybody. And they were competing against each other. They were the same class, same division, and my buddy ended up beating him with his own gun, which he got some smack talk for, of course. Can't let that one slide. But again, it's just building that community where you just want everybody to see. Am I back?
Yep, you're back.
Oh, I can't hear you. Hold on. 1 second. Mike? Now? Anything?
Yeah, nope. I hear you.
Okay, hold on.
I got you.
I got a phone call.
Oh.
Anything?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you fine.
Can you hear me now? Hear me? I can't hear you. Hold on. Why can't I hear you?
I don't know why you can't hear me.
What the heck? All right.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Let me see. Let me play with some of these settings here. More recordings. Nope. Dang it. Let me try this. We're going to do this.
Can Maybe? You hear me?
Yes, we're back. Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear
All
me?
All right.
Sorry, yes. Technical difficulties. Just had a little phone call there, but we ignored it. Yeah, but long story short, we're in this together. We want people to succeed. We want to help people, and it's just a magical thing that we have offered, you know? And I don't want to say it's unique to shooting, but it's definitely apparent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, going back to my very first three-gun match and just showing up not knowing anything, not even having all the gear that you'd want to have to shoot a match successfully, and they're just like, here you go, you know? Like, I've traveled to matches, you know, especially if I have the option to, you know, especially if I'm driving, I'll take extra gear, extra guns, extra ammo, extra, you know, holster and belt or whatever, just because. And here's, I think, how this sort of thing sort of develops is, you know, in my early days of competition, you don't really maybe think about it because you're so kind of focused on yourself. You're still just trying to figure things out yourself. And then one day you're at a match.
Sure.
You see somebody do exactly what you described, where it's like, oh, your gun just went down, you know, extractor broke, whatever. It's like, here's my gun, you know, here's whatever, you know, borrow my stuff, go do the thing. And you're like, oh, wow, you know? And so, you know, next thing you know, I start taking some extra gear and stuff with me to matches. And you know what? It came in handy in Texas last year when I...
Oh, you don't say.
Unfortunately, my guns were salvaged, but I needed a new, you know. So I'm referring to those that don't know, you know, on my way to Area 4, and I was teaching a class with Matt, that Matt Little was hosting down near Temple. that same weekend. So we shot, you know, Area 4 all in one day, and then did the class. And on my way there, my car caught on fire and burned to a crisp. And fortunately, my guns were fine, but I needed a new belt. Somehow, my holster survived, which is a miracle. Still
love it.
Remarkable to me. Yeah.
And what holster were you running?
It was a KSG Armory outside waistband holster that we don't even advertise. Eventually, you know, so it's just one I made for me to use in competition. Mm-hmm. And nothing fancy, but it was just amazing that it didn't even deform from all the heat. Like half the belt is like melted, and somehow that holster was fine. But I had to get a new belt, and I had no ammo because all my ammo burned up. So, you know, Matt lends me a belt. Fabio Spinella gives me like 500 rounds.
Yeah.
And I tried to pay him for it, and he's like, no. I'm like, no, really? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, it's cool. So, you know, and there were other just little acts of kindness and things from people and lots of support that came in, you know, people that, just messaging me, say, hey, you doing all right? Is there anything you need? You know, and it was really cool. So yeah, you know, yeah, man, it's so cool. I love talking about this stuff. It makes me all like warm and fuzzy inside.
You know? It makes me fuzzy too.
And again, even if you're not in the competition thing, like this is the kind of stuff we should be trying to do just in the 2A community, period. Yep. Man, really
cool. Even random people at the range too. Like you know, some people don't want unsolicited advice or help, but I saw one guy really struggling and I just, walked over calmly. I was like, hey, you know, I see you're having an issue with your AR. I'm like, I'm a professional shooter. If you want it, helps here. But you know, by no means am I trying to impede or anything like that. And just approach it really politely.
Yep.
And at first he was a little hesitant and he was like, I'm going to try to figure this out a little bit more. And I went off to my practice and kept going through my drills. And I finished the mags I had and turned around and he was like hanging out by my bag. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And shot the shit for a little bit, just moved to Tucson. He's like, hey, so like, I haven't figured this out yet. I need some help. And, he had something just set up a little bit wrong in his gun. And I have a full toolkit when I have my truck with me. And so I was like, yeah, no problem. Like, let's start taking it apart. He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, no, it's okay. Everything's going to be fine. And I showed him what was wrong. I showed him how to work on the gun and how to put it in the correct position, so that his gun would fire as it should, you know. And that moment right there, like, didn't know the guy, you know, never met him before, but I just saw another shooter struggling, knowing that I have a solution for him and that I could help him. And so I just felt inclined to go over and help. And I immediately, obviously, I started talking about competition shooting and asking about being a pro shooter and all this other stuff. And I was like, yeah, there's USPSA in like 3 days here. He's like, oh, I have it off from work. I was like, do you have a belt, a holster, and 3 magazines? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. You can sign up. It's like $20 or whatever. It's a whole lot of fun. And he ended up joining my squad. He was shooting a Glock. He didn't have base pads, so I brought him magazines with base pads on them just so he could have some extra rounds. And he had a great time, so he just kept coming back to the matches. I've seen him a handful of times now.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Man. Chase just walked into the shop. He gave me some eyes. But
well, this has been
great, on a podcast right now. You're not. That's inappropriate. I hope you guys didn't hear that. But yeah, either way, it has been great. It's always great catching up with you and just seeing your face. Riley gives the best dad hugs. So if you see him at a match, just approach him like this. And he will come over and give you the biggest bear hug and you will feel safe.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's not just the holsters that will keep you safe, but it's Riley himself. So yeah, it's been great. And for everybody listening, I highly encourage you to go shoot matches, whatever your matches look like in your area. You can go to practicescore.com. It'll show you local matches, or you can even just call call your local matches, your local MDs, and figure out what's going on in your area and see what you need to shoot. And if you're green and you're really fresh, call ahead and let the match director know that you're a new shooter interested, or shoot them an email, or however you communicate with them, mm-hmm. and explain to them you're a new shooter, you're interested in doing it, and what that club needs from you to prepare successfully for your first match. And again, we're all in this together, and they're more than happy to have more people shooting their matches. And so they'll give you everything you need. They'll probably give you a point of contact for when you go to the match. And you can get your feet wet and you can explore a little bit. And for those of you guys who have been competition shooting, go shoot majors out of state, because you're going to make new friends. You're going to experience a new talent pool, and it's just going to help you increase your skill. I think majors are the key to really understanding where you're at, because you could be a big fish in a small pond and think you're the hot stuff, and you will just get your stuff pushed in when you go to a major somewhere else. And so just get out there and shoot more than anything. And Riley and I will both be dry firing more this year. So we don't have any sloppy reloads and matches. So dry fire at home. You don't need bullets. It's free. It helps you with your mechanics and just your muscle memory for getting through stuff. And go shoot live fire so you can get better with your gun.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. And I'm being forced to dry fire more just well, I've been playing around with the VP9s since late 2022. So it's been but to actually shoot matches and stuff, you know, and take it really seriously, it's still a relatively new platform. So I got a dry fire.
You're going to crush it.
Yeah.
I know you are. They shoot well.
Oh man, I've been really
honestly
happy.
I think all these modern guns shoot better than humans can. If your gun doesn't hit your target, it's your fault. It's not the gun's fault.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're in such the golden age for firearm technology, handgun technology. You know, like you said, pretty much, I mean, I remember growing up as a kid and reading, you know, the old, you know, Guns and Ammo and Handguns magazine and, you know, all those old mags. Well, they still, I know they're still around, but I remember growing up and reading those. And like, you look at what guns were available back in like the 80s, the 90s, early 2000s, and they're very different than what we have today, as far as like especially the typical Vastly. Stuff that people are carrying every day. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And things were there were way more problems with, you know, reliability issues and even just having, you know, quality ammo to shoot that actually worked, you know, in those guns and stuff like that. It's really the golden age for handgun technology today.
You got no excuse to go out and shoot.
Yeah.
Everything's there for you. It's ripe for the picking.
Yep. 100%. 100%. One of the things I started doing in classes that I, especially the ones I drive to, so I, you know, again, I'm taking extra gear because I can. I'll take a case with like 8 different guns that are different than what I normally shoot. And throughout the 2-day class that I'm putting on, I will swap out periodically to a different gun. And it's fun to see some of the reactions I get from students. And the whole reason I do that is just to basically make the point that, look, expensive gun, because I've got, you know, in there, I've got some expensive guns and I've got some very inexpensive guns, and I've got guns that, you know, have wildly different ergonomics and grip angles and whatever, you know, and it's like
different triggers and sights, irons to dot and everything like that.
You know, it's just,
it's huge. I've got another fun one for you next class that you teach. Demo with a student's gun.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I love that doing that too, where I just say, oh, I'm demoing this. I'm like, whose gun should I shoot? Yep. And they usually point to somebody who has the most basic bare bones, something that's not going to help me at all.
Yeah.
But again, all the same principles apply though. And so you can just show that like the skill translates no matter what you're shooting. And sure, we have our platforms that we prefer to shoot, but we have our foundational base for our skill level is so comprehensive that you put any gun in my hand and we'll shoot it, you know, let's say 85%, 90% of what we'll shoot the gun that we prefer to shoot on or what we're used to shooting on. And it all comes just from that understanding of that fundamentals and your skill. And you just got to go out to shoot to build that up, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I got to wrap it up. I got a thing I got to get to. I could talk to you forever, of course.
Yeah.
And we should talk. We should just talk more often, regardless.
Yeah.
It's always a good time.
I'm always open to it. So, yeah. Let Riley know when I should come back and what we should talk about. And you can, outside of just the website too, feel free to hit me up on socials if you have questions about anything. Oh, belt real quick for people. For those of you still listening, we're going to do a quick infomercial.
Yeah.
Boom, best EDC belt on the market, said by Hunter Constantine. But it has a rigid material in front, steel reinforced, and then it has a stretchy elastic section in the back, so it moves with your body, form fits to your body, and that allows it to stretch, so there's no hot spots on your hips, your lower back. You can drive with it. It's super low pro. There's no big Cobra buckles or anything like that. It sits super flush, almost in line with the belt once you have the buckle attached to it. And you can also wear it without belt loops. I am usually in athletic shorts, and so I have this belt cinched down to my body in athletic shorts with a full-size sidecar holster on, full-size gun, full mags loaded, and it keeps it in place. And I've shot matches in athletic shorts with this belt on, which is pretty crazy because it's something that's kind of out of the norm. But you can find it on my website. There's some local gun shops around the country popping up that are carrying the belts now too. And the code is CCPodcast24. And the rock, paper, scissors won you guys free shipping on that, which is, I rarely do free shipping codes at all. I think I did one for New Year's, but I think this is the first promo code that we've given out with free shipping. So save you guys a couple of dollars so you can save a little bit more on ammo and experience concealed carry with comfort.
I dig it, man. That's great.
Cool.
You gave me a belt. I've tried it out. It's a solid belt. It's incredibly well made. It is super comfortable. That is without question. So
yeah,
you hit on all the key points there as far as I'm concerned.
And honestly, even if you're not using my belt, conceal carry, period. So if you want something more rigid, go get a ratchet belt. Go get a nice leather belt, whatever it is. Just conceal carry and protect our Second Amendment and make some friends along the way.
Yeah, man.
You know, and I think that's the best thing to sign off with is just carry your gun, make friends.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much, my man. It's been good.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to seeing you. I should see you at Ipsic Nats in April.
Yeah.
So,
be nice and like warm here. This t-shirt and shorts is what I've been wearing all day here in Arizona.
Yeah.
I think it was like high 60s and sunny.
I think I have snow falling outside there right now. So. Yeah.
Well, I'll wish some sunshine upon you so you get a little bit of warmth.
It was a great week. I think we averaged, low mid 50s, probably about mid 50s for much of the week,
with sunshine,
which is very comfortable weather for me.
So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. Very good.
Awesome.
Well, folks, again, shout out for Hunter. Thank you for your time, man. Hunter Constantine.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. One more shout out to other episode sponsor, dryfireproshop.com. Of course, HK for being title sponsor today. And there you go. Hunter.
One thing.
Okay.
One thing, request from the boys in Phoenix that you love. We want to see a Mark 23 L10 Major. And that's it. Okay. We'll be waiting for it. Okay. But that will be pretty cool. Get your splinter cell vibes on.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah. I wonder if I can talk HK.
Yeah. Oh, that. And we want to see MP5 PCC.
Yeah.
So we just want you to have all the cool stuff going.
All the cool stuff, yeah. Oh, I'll see what I can do on that. Dude, can you imagine a Mark 23?
Right.
I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day about, shooting a Mark 23 with 45 Super. You'd make major with 45 ACP. But can you imagine shooting a Mark 23 with 45 Super?
I think it'd be cool, dude. You'd get a lot of the free internet points for that one,
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got to dress you up in a wetsuit like Tom Clancy Splinter Cell.
Yes. Of course.
So.
Right, dude.
Well, Riley, guys, thank you so much. Yep. Appreciate you being here. And I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. And can't wait to see you in person and get that hug.
Yeah, man. You got it. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, a reminder to train right, train often, and train safe so you can fight hard, fight fast, and fight true.
reminder that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand applicable laws. Concealed Carry Inc., its brands and properties, and the Concealed Carry Podcast is not a legal service, nor are we attorneys at law. We make our best faith effort to share concealed carry-related insights and information about firearm-related incidents and the laws pertaining based on our own understanding and experience. But things can be different where you live, or laws may have changed by the time you listen to this. We cannot be held liable for your actions based on the information shared in this podcast. Please exercise care with all things pertaining to firearm use, concealed carry, and always practice following basic firearm safety rules. More information about safety can be found at concealedcarry.com/safety.